KSL at Night.
Welcome back to KSL at Night. I am Mara Carabello, and it has been great to be with Rusty Cannon.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, this is our first show together.
It
will not be our last, but
it is.
And this is our last segment. So if you have missed any of our conversations, and Rusty, I think we've had a bunch of really great ones.
It's been a good night.
Yeah, you go on to KSL, and make sure you go on to KSLpodcast.com, and you can watch us. You can re-listen for sure, but you can also catch the segments you may have missed when you stepped out of your car and went to the grocery store, or whatever you're doing tonight. We're going to finish with one of my favorite segments, which is Rusty and I picked just a couple of news items that we thought it was really important that you didn't miss. And so we're going to clip through a few. We're going to start out with our friends across the pond in the BBC. I'm trying hard. I'm an Irish-Italian, so I don't want to make fun of the Brits, but
hey, go ahead.
They came out with a article that questions whether you need to shower as often as you do.
Oh, this was hilarious. In fact, the where my eyes went in the article, this is too funny. They mention a chemist.
Yes.
Who apparently has not showered for 12 years.
Right.
As of 2015. Instead, he sprays himself with good bacteria and even started a skincare brand based on this philosophy. And then later in the article, he's continuing this to where he's really doesn't ever shower. I am surprised to be reading these headlines and what's in the article.
Yeah, they talk to, one of the key, it opens up with a middle-aged man talking about during COVID, and he stops this daily habit, and now he's on a 2 or 3 day a week regime. Now, he does point out it's on days that he doesn't exercise.
Yeah, that's a fair point. At least we give him that.
I'm going to give him a point here. But I'm not sure I'm buying in. I hear the part. Now, we do know good bacteria is good bacteria, right? Like, if you're too clean, it's a problem if you get rid of. But, I think there is a lot of latitude between me being too clean and me showering once a day.
You know, another quote that I thought was funny, he's quoted as saying, "I have a smell to me, and my wife says it's just like identifiable, but she likes it. Other people say it's not bad." So it continues to amaze me to where this, to each his own, right? But, in fact, thinking about smell, have you ever walked by a high school locker room after a football game?
Yeah. I mean, I've washed the laundry of a high school boy.
Yes. Or the pads, the football pads by the end of the season, you need a mask, you need distance, you need something. But that is, you can't spend a lot of time.
You're not calling that a healthy bacteria.
Oh, no. Oh, man. I mean, just when it comes to teenagers. And so another article we looked at as well, speaking of teenagers, an interesting report from the U.S. News and World Report. Did I get that right? The best high schools in Utah.
Yeah. So this comes out once a year. And so, okay, we get a million best ofs. And hey, good for us, Beehive State. We land on the top of a lot. So this looked in from U.S. News and World Report. It says, who are the best high schools? So Rusty, you and I both did the same thing. Wait a minute. How did you decide what the best was?
Yeah.
Although I'm going to spoil your headline. I think your kid's high school's on the list.
It is. Good old Farmington High.
Yay.
Number 10. Made the top 10. Yes. Home
so
of the Phoenix.
Here's their criteria. So it's really specific to college readiness. It seems they say they analyzed 17,660 public high schools for this year's ranking, and they really talk about whether how much of the student body was in an AP program or an IB program. That's weighted pretty heavily. There's some other how they tested on things, what their participation rate was. So this is really on a college readiness, the graduation rate, underserved student performance. But let's give you the top 10 while we're here.
Yeah, number one, Beehive Science and Technology Academy, a charter school in Sandy. Number two, Skyline High School. So to tell you how old I am.
Yeah.
Skyline High School was one of our arch enemies in high school.
Ooh.
I went to East High.
Okay.
And oh boy, we lost a lot of football games.
My husband
back then
is an East High grad, so.
So we had the longest losing streak in the nation when I was there. I didn't see a winning game from my freshman year until my senior year. Another story. But one of the teams that we could just never beat, they were always really good, Skyline High School. That obviously doesn't factor into this analysis, but it brings me PTSD to see Skyline.
Yeah, I was going to say, so the number two rank, you're bumping them down. Let's bump them down to 11, just
that's
past
right.
Farmington of our own. Carl G. Mazur Preparatory Academy in Linden, Itinerous Early College High School in West Jordan. Those last two were charter schools.
Mm-hmm.
Now we go to the Park City School District, in which Park City High School comes in at number 5.
Corner Canyon High School out in Draper. Everybody knows that school as number 6. And number 7 is actually up in Layton, Northern Utah Academy for Math, Engineering, and Science. That's a mouthful.
Yeah.
Number 7 and number 8, Academy for Math and Engineering and Science, another charter school in Murray.
So Olympus High School, we're back in Salt Lake City. Olympus is probably Skyline's current biggest rival in Holiday. And then, as we said before, Farmington High School.
The Phoenix.
So, yeah, there you go. There's your, the Phoenix. There you go. There's your top 10 high schools for U.S. News and World Report for readiness. I'm sure, you know, your high school that your kids go to is going to be on another list. There does seem to be a cottage industry in list rankings.
No, so we talked about earlier in the show, another high school that has an activity this weekend, Cottonwood High School, state convention for the Democrat Party. So
kids are out, Democrats are in.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be a long weekend. I'm curious, what, I mean, you've been, you know, working in this system for a while. What is your history or thoughts on the conventions overall?
I mean,
there's a lot of opinions.
So they're really intense now. One of the things I think people don't realize is the heaviness. So, you know, there's two sides to this, but I want to give a shout out to the delegates themselves.
Yes.
They are doing a lot of work. As we heard in the show, there's around 4,000 delegates for the Republicans. There's around 2,700 for the Democrats. And I will say, and I hear this terminology a lot, but I think it works, they are high information voters.
That's a good term.
They are willing to read a lot, and they do sacrifice a lot. What is really interesting to me, particularly with the Republicans have had just a very robust conversation about what does it mean to win in convention? Mm-hmm. So this conversation started a decade ago when candidates had the alternative access to the ballot by gathering signatures. For a long time, if you gathered signatures, that meant sure death mm-hmm. at convention. Mike Lee is who I credit as sort of being a hard rock conservative mm-hmm. who said, you know, I am going to gather.
Yeah, he broke the mold.
But there are still some delegates who say, hey, man, if you signature gather, you're dead to me.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I think is being tested is how much the candidates are mapping to the hardest core, most diehard, most information sharing person. That is always what the conventions are about. So for me, you can be turned off by them mm-hmm. because they can be a little ideologically driven. So, but I say, don't take that point of view. I say you get turned on by the fact that these are people that are diehard civic lovers.
Yeah, they're very involved. In fact, I think the benefit of the convention system, and I've watched this now for over a decade and seen it, you know, on the campaign side, as well as being a delegate side, the beauty of it is that especially like in a legislative district race where mm-hmm. there's maybe 60 to 80 to 100 delegates, those races are won at kitchen tables. You
That's
literally
right.
can sit down knee to knee, belly to belly with that candidate and say, tell me what you think of this. Tell me what you think of that. And different from watching an advertisement on TV or hearing something, you know, on the radio, you get to look into their eyes and see if you believe them and see if, you know, and you really, it is a crucible. It is not easy. And they go to all these different events, and you're right. These delegates do their homework and hold their feet to the fire. And so that's the benefit of it.
Yeah.
Obviously there's criticisms to the system as well, but that's the part that I love is that it is a crucible.
What's interesting is I am actually a critic of the system when it was the only path to the ballot mm-hmm. because of that very thing. I love how connected they are. I think sometimes delegates can't resist the urge to sort of represent their own interest and not maybe the interest of their neighbors. But either way, thank you to these delegates. Thank
Absolutely.
You to the candidates running. I will always say, I mean, be nice to candidates, vote against them, but be nice to them because they're doing a very brave thing. So I'll look forward to that. Rusty, this has been a terrific show.
It's been a blast.
It's been super fun. And make sure you guys tune in to KSL at night tomorrow, and we'll listen for you then.